Dear friends, welcome back, and I'm very grateful for your attendance and your family, and I'm glad you're here. A lot of you have been here for decades, and that's just wonderful. We've all gone through a lot together, and you know that we give you the best we can. We could not possibly do any more to try to make sure that the information you find here and listen to here is the most reasonably reliable that we can discern through this avalanche, this cascade of chaos and lies and putrid science fiction that is being thrown on the masses 24/7. It's just unbelievable. And it's getting to be crazier all the time. It's not slowing down. We have some things to listen to tonight, some video clips, and we have more information. Very interesting little clip from a Dr. James Thorpe. We're going to play that. And if you've noticed, and we've mentioned this, first of all, hi, partner. Welcome back.
Hi, Jeff. Good to be here again. Thanks.
And how many babies have you seen lately?
None, really.
Me too. None. I'm sure there's some out there, but I'm as all of you listening know, we are loath, but we'll do it, to report the simple fact that almost every 75% of women who get, for some reason, the Department of Defense bioweapon injection during pregnancy lose that child. That child gets killed. That's murder. It's either dead in the womb and there's a stillbirth, or they have a spontaneous abortion, or the doctors go in and take out the carcass, whatever. They're killing children. They went after the children, and you all knew it when they began to talk about, we're going to inject everyone down from the age of five up. And then they lowered it down to 6 months and up. This is called murder. There's no other word for it. All right? Now, this Dr. James Thorpe, interesting, we'll get to him in a few minutes, but he's talking about AIDS in babies, AIDS in children. They call it VAIDS, vaccine-induced acquired immune deficiency. But it's AIDS. Same thing. It doesn't matter. Your immune system's getting destroyed. And these kids have not a chance in the world. Do you understand now? Do you begin to see the big picture of how many people are dying? And this is happening all around the world, not just here in the U.S. All countries who have been forced into this globalist agenda of inoculating via a needle as many of their people, as they can, are seeing death, lots of death. And thanks to Bernard in Indonesia, he's been reporting on that, and it's just as bad in Indonesia. It's horrible everywhere. They're killing. This weapon is working, I think, at least as well as their expectations, at least.
I agree. It's hard to argue that. I mean, here we are 18, 19 months later. It's full speed ahead.
And I smelled the smell again today, by the way. It wasn't as strong
really?
As the last time, but yeah, I did. It smells like, and some of the descriptions are similar. It was on a male, and it smelled like kind of a lousy, cheap cologne or aftershave or something like that. And that's the third time I've smelled that on two different people. So it's out there, and some of you listening right now have smelled odd smells too, obviously from the vaxxed. We think it may have to do with, it could have to do with a lot of things in the human body. The physiology of the human body is astonishingly an incredibly diverse and sophisticated thing. So when you put something in it like the deadly spike protein and all the things it does, you can expect to have odors as a response in some people at least. Is it a putrescence of the dying? We think so in some cases. Some people are reporting that kind of a smell, like an unchanged or uncleaned outhouse in the middle of July. Others are talking about laundry detergent smells, or like a dryer sheet you throw on the dryer with your clothes to make them smell nice, that kind of thing. I happen to get the cologne thing I've smelled. I did smell the putrescence one time. I was in a store, and there were, you know, I don't know, 6-8 people, 10 people within 30 feet of me, and it just kind of wafted through the air, and it was awful. It was bad. So that's out there, too, and I can attest that I've smelled something that suggests putrescence. Suggests, because I have no proof. And if we don't have proof, we don't like to put things out there. Unlike most of the other people in the so-called alt media who are controlled, created opposition, and they're doing their jobs around the clock. Remember, the government doesn't play games. And in this case, it isn't our government. It's a world government called globalism. And they are running the show. And it's really, really difficult to track it. It's very easy to get sidetracked and to be misdirected. It's simple. It happens all the time. Watch for this new documentary coming out. The Beef Stew Government Industries film company is putting it out. It's called Died Suddenly, and that's going to be widely viewed. I'm not pushing it. I'm just telling you it's going to be, because it deals with fear. And it's a fearful thing to see people dying in the streets, on the streets, dying in bed, not being able to be awake into the morning, gone, died suddenly. The biggest group on social media that we knew about was Died Suddenly. And unfortunately, that group was taken off, as we thought it would be.
It got pretty big. You do have to wonder why all of a sudden were they putting out a film, a documentary film on it, which, you know, if you've been in the alt news, you know well what's going on, and you've known for some time. I think the shocker will be for the mainstream media disciples who largely have no idea how bad the situation is. And I suspect that it's going to be met with some resistance, as in they will be inclined to think that it's sensationalist fear-mongering. They will have to find a way in their minds to rationalize it.
People,
so I don't expect that it's going to be a shocker for the vast majority of people who are flat screen watchers. I don't see it.
I hope you're right. We'll see. But I do think it's going to get a lot of traction, unfortunately. But that's the name of the game. And they are running
it'll be
the game
a jolt,
very well.
Maybe. Shake people up a little bit, but I think the tendency is going to be to somehow rationalize it.
Paul, true. People do. They're rationalizing almost everything now. Would come back to you and say, well, how do you expect us to treat this? Well, what do you expect? What are we supposed to do? We have no choice. We have to rationalize it. The media is telling us the same stories over and over. They want us to believe that, and what happens? Most people believe it. So they have to rationalize almost anything. I don't know. It's
well,
really
these are the same people, though, that believe we have a legitimate government, that we had
same
a legitimate
people.
Election, that we have
same
legitimate
people.
Regulatory agencies that
they
would not
to Biden
harm
as the
us.
President.
Yes. Yeah, they're the same people. So I'm sure that they can rationalize a film like this.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'm just saying, It's another dose of fear. That's the intent,
yeah,
to scare people. And it's pretty graphic. You look at the thing. Many of you have probably seen the trailer for it, and it's going to do that. There are lots of issues out there that can be mined for the treasure of fear that they hold within, and Died Suddenly is certainly one of them. All right, where do we want to start tonight? What would you like to do? Ladies first.
Did you want to play that clip from Bhakti?
Sure. Let me pull that up. Now, this is give a little background on Dr. Sukhrit Bhakti. He's excellent. S-U-C-H-A-R-I-T, Sukhrit Bhakti.
Yeah, he's the microbiologist, immunologist from Germany, who has spoken out from the beginning, more or less, about you know what's going on, and he's appears to be just simply exasperated with having to keep beating this drum and trying to convey to people the stupidity of what they're doing when they take these shots and God forbid, give them to their children.
Exactly. Now, Dr. Bhakti was interviewed by Greg Hunter on his program. And I like Greg Hunter. I think he's a nice guy. He certainly works hard. But he asked Dr. Bhakti at one point, and Dr. Bhakti is known if for nothing else than being fully aware that this is not a vaccine out there to help people. It's a killer. He knows that. Yeah. And Greg Hunter actually asked him, and I don't know if I can find it, but he actually asked him, Dr. Bhakti, have you gotten the shot? And Bhakti lost it. He almost yelled at him. And he said, I'm not mad. Am I like crazy? Or something like that. I'll see if I can find it. But here, let's go ahead and listen to a little bit of this. I may just skip it forward a few places, so just be ready for that. So this is Greg Hunter with Dr. Sukharit Bhakti, a remarkable, heroic fellow, and always good to see what he has to say. Here we go.
That all things that are this whole COVID thing, from the infection to the injections, and he's going to come on and explain. He's called it the worst. Hold on, let me make sure I get this absolutely correct. He's called it the worst man-made disaster in the history of the earth. This whole injection, COVID injection thing. He is Dr. Sukharit Bhakti.
Be nice if he could pronounce his name correctly. This seemed to be a rush interview. There's several suggestions that there was no prep for it, but I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just noting what I'm seeing here. So here we go.
He's at taught at the university level, MD. He's won all kinds of awards in science.
Come on, Greg, let's get to the important part here. Let me help you out a little bit. Okay.
Attack itself. Your body starts attacking itself from the time you get injected. Is that correct?
Yes.
Explain.
Okay.
Now, Dr. Bhakti, I got to tell you this because you can't see it. Dr. Bhakti is so fed up with people who have not been able to get a handle on this mass execution of humanity. And he said he gave him an interviewer's worst nightmare is a one-word answer. That's not what you want. So here he said yes. And then he just stared at the camera as if in disgust. I'll just listen to that again. It was funny. I mean, I've interviewed a few people, and the one-word answer is not fun.
I want to bring him on, and Dr. Bhakti, hold on, let me get there, hold on, yeah, there we go. Your premise is that these shots make your body attack itself. Your body starts attacking itself from the
now
time you
the
get
answer.
Injected. Is that correct?
Yes.
Explain.
Okay. Listen, everyone, I'm glad to be here with you. Look, do you see this?
Yes, back
if
it up.
Cell
there you go.
Makes
He enters into a rather extensive, but it's not very long, discourse about protein fragments always presented to T cells. And he's got holding up pieces of paper showing that. I'm going to try and get past this just a little bit. You've got to be able to see it to really make sense out of it. But what a kind man. Here, all right, here we go. I think we got past most of it.
Mischief and harm. Therefore, every child that is born today, yesterday, and tomorrow is born with locks and lymphocytes that will always recognize non-self, which is essentially all the viruses.
Will recognize non-self, in other words, not indigenous or endogenous to the body. They're non-self. They're outside agents, and then he's talking about viruses, and see what else he says.
Anything you want say. Now, when these cells, recognizing non-self, spring into action, let us say a child has a coronavirus infection. The infected cells build the virus protein. The virus protein has fragments on the surface of this cell. The activated lymphocytes are going to now call on the brothers and sisters, which are the B cells. And the B cells will now make antibodies. These are antibodies that will see not the fragments, but the total protein, like the spike fragment of the coronavirus on the cell. And then what happens is a dual attack of the two major armed forces of the immune system. First, the killer lymphocytes that will recognize the fragments, attack and kill the cell. Second, the antibodies that will bind to the finished protein that is produced by the cell. And these antibodies are going to recruit the second arm of the immune system, which is called complement. And the complement system is going to attack these cells and also kill them. Now you see that this arrow is much bigger than this, because killing by killer lymphocytes is silent death, but killing by complement and antibodies is violent death. This is what causes massive inflammation and massive tissue destruction. Tissue destruction.
Now keep in mind, Dr. Bhakti, as Greg Hunter said in his introduction, has identified these bioweapon injections as the deadliest thing in human history. Okay? He's already made it quite clear. Let me just advance this a little bit more. He's holding up papers, and you really need to see these, but I just want you to hear his tone of voice, and then we're going to move this up here. Did you get a chance to see that? I played it for you, I think. Yeah, I did see it. Do you remember where it was in the... around halfway-ish?
I think it was more towards the end, if I remember correctly.
Let me find out. I never saw Dr. Bhakti act like that before. This is worth the wait, dear friends. Hold on.
To do with his heart. But his muscle.
He's talking about the heart muscle.
Because they are now trying to introduce mRNA vaccines for everything.
Okay, elaborate on that for us a little bit. They are trying to introduce mRNA-style vaccines for everything. And he's holding up a piece of paper here. Conclusion, every injected mRNA, quote, vaccine will cause severe damage in our body and must be forbidden. So they're switching. I just want people to know that most vaccines are going to be predicated on an mRNA platform. That's where it's going.
Yeah, there's already the influenza vaccine that's being fast-tracked on an mRNA platform. And then this RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, that's also being fast-tracked. It'll probably be here shortly. And, you know, they'll do the normal charade of, oh, it was tested in animals, they ate mice or whatever, and it's safe and good to go. But, you know, this is just a clever ruse to perpetuate this depopulation. They know these things kill people. So if you can convince the public that this is... you and I watched that presentation by a employee, actually it was an officer of Moderna, giving a presentation to potential investors about this new technology, this new, you know, the mRNA delivery system, which can be used for vaccines, but also all kinds of drug deliveries and genetic treatments for various things. And she spoke to an auditorium full of people and then sold them on this concept. So they will have plenty of money to spend or keep themselves employed for a while people die at the hands of this.
Precisely.
You know, it suits a couple different agendas.
As many as they want. All right, here's, let me see if this might be the section here. Now, Dr. Bhakti, as you can tell, is nobody's fool. He's a brilliantly accomplished medical professional. He's a scientist. He's a doctor. He knows what he's doing.
Doctor, would you tell people injecting these kids is pure evil. Is that right? They just passed it here in the United States to put it on the vaccine schedule for children. Absolutely outrageous. It's murder,
it's
is it not?
Outrageous. It is satanic. It is pure evil. And if you Americans are not able to stop it, no one is, because the world belongs to these perpetrators. America is the only country, the only. You know, I'm American born. I was proud to be born in America. But now, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of America, ashamed of what the Americans are doing, are letting being done. And I'm horrified at what the Americans are now doing to the world, because it's clear. It is absolutely clear that the whole agenda originates from America. No one else, no other people in the world would be in the position to envisage and to create this agenda. I am a Thai. I know that Asia would never have been able to do this. Europe would not have done this. The only people who may have done this are the Chinese. And the fact is that the Chinese and the Americans have come together to do something that is so horrible, so inhuman, that, oh say, can you see? No, I cannot see.
Is there anything you could do to help yourself? Can you take ivermectin? Can you take chlorine dioxide?
No, don't take ivermectin. Just stop the madness.
I understand, but if you've already taken it, is there anything you could do to help yourself? I mean, it's supposedly 58% of Americans were tricked into taking this garbage, according to one. I had two shots and a booster. Is there anything you could do to help yourself?
Well, let me give you a gleam of hope. The major danger of these vaccines is that they cause self-destruction. All right? Are we to call? Self-destruction. Now, the wonderful thing about mankind and humans and everything on Earth, because you know, I'm Buddhist, but I talk to you as Christians. God has given you the gift of being able to repair. If a lung cell dies, it can be repaired. If a liver cell dies, it can be repaired. So the majority of people who have been maimed, who have been attacked, they have a good chance of recovery. It is only those whose brains and whose heart and whose reproductive system have been maimed and destroyed that have no chance of recovery. That is what I think, and that is what I see all around me now. So if 50% of the Americans have been foolish enough to be vaccinated and have survived it up to now, I would like to give them hope that they can recover. Maybe not 100%, but even 90% is not so bad. And now my last words to all of you. Dear fellow world citizens, you know, 80 to 90% of you Americans have been shortening your life voluntarily, overeating, overdrinking, overindulging, self-neglect. Look at yourself. You know that you, the men among you, have 106 years of life expectancy. The ladies, 115 years life expectancy. And yet, you have been satisfied with 20% less, 20 to 25% less. If these vaccines are shortening your life by 1%, 2%, 10%, even 20%, accept it, because you yourself wanted it. For that, turn around and see whether you might not prolong your life by changing your lifestyle. Eat less, drink less, smoke less. Take care of yourself. And you may well be able to balance out this negative effect of the vaccination. That is what I think. And that is the hope I would like to give you tonight, today.
You said in April that, and this flew all over me, you said, listen, even without the mRNA in the lipid nanoparticle, the LNP, you've shortened your life. Does this lipid nanoparticle shorten your life no matter what?
For sure. The lipid nanoparticle is poison. But it's poison like nicotine. Sorry. If you go out smoking, it's poison like overweight. All right? Of course it's poison. There's no question.
And I wanted to just circle back to this. How about, it seems Dr. Pierre Corey, one of his main things to treat back injuries is he's using ivermectin and many other things, but his baseline drugs, he said that to me. Would you suggest people, if you've been vaxxed and you think you may have damaged yourself, that will the ivermectin help bind to these spike proteins and remove them from the body? That's what Dr. Pierre Corey says. Would you suggest people taking ivermectin if they could get it?
I don't know. You see, ivermectin is certainly excellent. I would recommend it for anyone who had real COVID-19 or many other viral respiratory diseases. Now, ivermectin is simply wonderful, but I don't know whether ivermectin will work against the vaccines because there are no data and I have no explanation, molecular biology explanation to why ivermectin should work. So, bottom line, ivermectin for infections, yes. Ivermectin For vaccine injuries, I don't know.
Would you, have you been vaxxed yourself, doctor?
Of course.
Okay, there it is. That's the money question. Now, this is 36 minutes into an interview with a man who is as anti-vax as it can possibly get. And unfortunately, Greg just stepped in it. And I want you to listen to Dr. Bhakti's response. He must have been, well, I was. All right, where am I here? I'm going to get back to this. I moved it. This is that. Okay, I think it's here.
I would recommend it for anyone who had real COVID-19 or many other viral respiratory diseases. Now, ivermectin is simply wonderful, but I don't know whether ivermectin will work against the vaccine.
It's important.
Because there are no data, and I have no explanation, molecular biology explanation, to why ivermectin should work. So, bottom line, ivermectin for infections, yes. Ivermectin for vaccine injuries, I don't know.
Okay, here it comes.
Would you, have you been vaxxed yourself, doctor?
Of course not. I'm not mad.
I just wanted to make sure I get that people say, oh, because I want to make sure that.
I mean, how can anyone be so foolish?
And you would, and this idea, Dr. Michael Yeadon, that you probably know him too, he says, cool. Listen, you don't need a booster, you don't need that, it's Dr. Ryan.
Okay, we'll stop there. I mean, that just knocked me over when I heard that. I couldn't believe it. And if you'd seen Dr. Bhakti's face, he was stunned. Anyhow, all right. So there we go. Part of the interview with Dr. Sukrit Bhakti, extraordinary man, and deserving of the highest honors and accolades in this war against massive human genocide, which is succeeding, unfortunately, all too well.
Indeed.
If you look underneath our names and guests, you can find this interview link, by the way. It's there. Go ahead.
I was just going to mention on the ivermectin because, you know, there's a smear campaign against it again.
Big, big.
This particular doctor he recapped a study that came out explaining how ivermectin docks to the SARS-CoV-2 spike receptor binding domain and enumerates at least six mechanisms of action how ivermectin can assist in reducing the biological toxicity of this protein, whether you get it from infection or shedding.
And yes, shedding is real. And yes, we wish to reiterate, you must keep that in mind when you are out. Your vaxxed opposites are dangerous to you. And I speak on behalf of people on both sides of the street. Just keep that in mind. All right. Now, there's so much noise, disinformation, and chaos out there. There are so many charlatans and hucksters out there pushing alleged knowledge about what to do to cure yourself from vaccine injury and how there are no... Now they're saying there's no such thing as a spike protein, for God's sakes. And we have Dr. Robert Young, who actually stole an Italian researcher's name. That's the story we get to enable him to publish, what was it? Publish a paper on graphene oxide. Was that it?
Oh, this paper that he had put together. He submitted it for publication to an Italian journal and used a legitimate credentialed researcher's name to get it into that journal. And then when it hit the actual publication, he switched it out for his own name, and then a second time for his own credentials or manufactured credentials. It's really a stunning piece of scientific fraud.
Well, it's not the only one out there either. There's a lot out there.
No, it's not.
You know, I just caution all of you that, as Erica said earlier, and we've said many times, it's almost all lies now and distortion and deceit. We're being tricked around the clock. Not you people. You've got a handle on it. And we never tell you what to think. We never will. We just offer you the best information we can, and you connect the dots yourself. All right, Dr. James Thorpe, go ahead and intro that, and we'll play that next.
Many people will have already heard of Dr. James Thorpe. He's an obstetrician working out of St. Louis, Missouri, I believe, and has been very vocal about what he is seeing in his pregnant patients, and now speaking on the health of the infants that are being born to these mothers who have been vaccinated during their pregnancies, and it's really, really a grim picture.
Okay, all right. This is a clip from Beef Stew, the Stew Peters Show, and this is the doctor in question. Let's see what he has to say about babies, Dr. James Thorpe. And I don't know if you've been listening to us for a long time or you're new to the program, but we have been cautioning about AIDS as being a direct result of the spike protein's attack on the body. So here we go. Now, this is new. This is a new piece.
Either one of you, will start with you, Dr. Thorpe. Between the babies that are born by unvaccinated mothers versus those that have been injected?
Yes, absolutely, it's true. There is so much avalanche of data from all over the world that I've reviewed, and I think I sent you my slide deck, PowerPoint. I mean, we're talking about birth rates declining all over the world, all the different countries of the world. I sent you those slides. Catastrophic loss in birth rate, increase in miscarriage, increase in severe preeclampsia, increase in fetal malformations, increase in fetal death in the womb, increase in fetal cardiac arrest, fetal cardiac malformation, placental thrombosis. We're seeing a significant increase in preterm delivery. We're seeing the babies that do survive. I'm seeing significant increase in abnormal outcomes. My main concern with these babies, and I hope that it's not permanent, is VAIDS. VAIDS, V-A-I-D-S, vaccine-induced acquired immune deficiency syndrome. These children cannot, these babies, these newborns cannot mount. They don't have a normal immune system. They are at increased risk for death and dying from autoimmune disease, from blood clot, from cardiac arrhythmias, and also from cancers and from opportunistic infections. It's a bloody disaster.
Okay, so it is a bloody disaster, but it's working according to plan. You've got to remember that this so-called vaccine was created through the auspices and taxpayer dollars as administered by the Department of Defense. Now, what the hell would the Department of Defense be doing involved with public health policy to fight some kind of an alleged viral onslaught that had a 99.9997% survival rate with no treatment? The DOD is buried up to its eyeballs in evil and demonic conspiracy with this thing. And Pfizer and Moderna were given contracts. Here, can you make this? Yes, we can make that for you. So they did. And third quarter of this year, I forget what it is. I think it was over $50 billion that Pfizer notched up as gross profits in the third quarter. So, yeah. All right. Babies with AIDS. Adults with AIDS. Everyone who's taken the shot, if it's a viable injection of this biological weapon from the Department of Defense originally and concurrently with Pfizer and Moderna, has AIDS to one degree or another.
I would agree, yes. The alterations to the immune system are fairly significant, if not profound. And I would think it's especially bad for infants, newborns, because there's some possibility, potential, that because they're exposed to the spike protein in utero, that they will not recognize that spike protein as foreign. So if after they're born at some point in their lives, they're exposed to this thing, they will not react to it, and the virus comes in and does all of the nasty things that it does, destroying the cardiovascular system, creating cancers, causing neurodegeneration, and that child will likely die very early.
Well, you saw the doctor, you saw his face, and the link is under our names, I believe, also. Dr. James Thorpe, take a look at him. He is clearly outraged, just like Dr. Bhakti was when he was asked, have you taken the shot? My God, that I'll never forget that one. He won't either, guarantee it. All right, so we've got babies who are dead in the womb, lots of them. 75% of the babies either die or have severe injury, apparently by the time they're born, if they're born. This is not a good situation. But again, it is performing exactly as projected, as it was gamed for over 20 years, according to Dr. Robert Malone, who said it in an interview that this was gamed on supercomputers for over 20 years by multiple countries. And you heard that here if you've been listening for a long time. So, you know, that brings us back to the other issue of friend or foe. Is Dr. Robert Z. Young a good guy or a bad guy? Well, if you steal someone's name to get your paper published in a journal and get that journal publication and pull your name off and say, look, my paper has been published in this journal. It's a little flaky, isn't it? Just a little. And that's not the only example. My God, there's a wheelbarrow full of examples we could go into of people who are just simply not going to be accountable for their behaviors. Like now, Brian Artis, the chiropractor, says, oh, I made a mistake. I was wrong about the king cobra venom being in your tap. So it's a mea culpa, and he's sorry, and so let's get on with it. So he's rehabilitating himself. And that's his right. But I don't think many of us are fooled by that.
Well, and he's citing the research that we had talked about a year ago, the Italian research showing the alterations in the microbiota of the digestive tract and being altered in such a way that they're producing conotoxins or various venoms.
Yep, exactly right. Okay, got about 10 minutes. What else? What do we want to do next? Social media?
Yeah, we can do some social media, sure.
All right, social media is really our only legitimate window to the world to try to judge and evaluate what's really going on out there. Now, died suddenly, 100, how many? 140,000? I forget. What was it? Members?
Something like that. It was substantial.
And that was yanked, gone, done, toast. So rather than take down another one. There's several really good sites out there. Another one is about shedding. Another one is about myocarditis, pericarditis. There are lots of them out there. So what are some of the other tactics that are being used to, rather than necessarily yank a site completely, there are other ways to take control of some of them. And it's really old school stuff. It's nothing new. Penetrate, take over.
That's correct. And it is happening. Telegram is one of the big targets for that now, because Telegram is more independent than Facebook. You don't see Telegram groups disappearing overnight because, you know, they're going against community rules or policies or anything like that. So rather than, because they can't take them down, as they can with Facebook, they will send people into these groups, shills and trolls, to influence, if not outright control, the narrative. And now it looks like a fairly large group having to do with health freedom was penetrated by a couple different individuals. And this has a lot of the doctors that have been fighting for patients' freedom really shaken up. I don't think, being doctors, that they realized how much of a problem it really is, and they feeling a little duped and betrayed. But they sent out a memo today, and it is circulating, and apparently both Peter McCullough and Robert Malone have been victims of this type of strategy that they're using. I mean, in some cases, the people are masquerading as Robert Malone and Peter McCullough and saying things that they themselves would not say, but people don't know that this is not actually them. So there's a list of five things, strategies that these trolls and shills use to, influence, social engineer the narrative. You want to go over those?
Sure. And they're important. It's to show you that this is so well thought out. That it's a textbook operation. Infiltration, penetration, and then you co-opt the whole narrative, basically, or you try to. And you drive away people who don't agree with you. And these are paid government shills in many cases. It happens. It's always happened this way. It's old news. But go ahead.
I'll just start with the introduction of this memo that's circulating. We have just been made aware of a serious situation happening tonight behind the scenes of the Health Freedom Movement. Please read the PDF attached. Many of you have noticed by now that something strange is going on involving Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Robert Malone, and a woman named Carolina Bonita. You'll hear more about this soon. Over a year ago, the Citizens Commission to Safeguard Freedom released a report which lays out evidence of disruptive infiltrators heavily targeting the health freedom movement, especially on Telegram. However, outside of Children's Health Defense, nobody seemed to notice the significance until now. The report details how operatives, 1, infiltrate, mimic, and ultimately hijack existing groups by piggybacking on brand recognition, 2, target group owners, earn their trust, and then install bots that enable the takeover of the group to assert new identities and goals. 3, control content that can be shared within groups and distort group missions. 4, steer groups toward aggressive and unproductive behavior and confuse members with regard to peaceful protest locations and assertion of values. And lastly, 5, harvest private data and information related to health freedom strategies. Among those identified running the operation last year were individuals named Harry, Gina, and Carolina. So that's just one group. That's a group that obviously pertains to health freedom and has a lot of physicians involved in that group, but I have absolutely seen that in other groups.
So if you're in a group, let me add to that. Please, if you're in a group and you're finding it to be very beneficial and you can reach out and get some positive reinforcement, et cetera, you can learn from it, which we do monitor these groups. If you have a group and all of a sudden your group, let's just say for fun, has a new tyrannic voice that somehow manifests itself in the narrative of that group, and then that voice actually takes over the group as the moderator. This has happened a number of times. It's not an accident. Just understand that. These groups are being targeted, penetrated, and co-opted all the way. So if you're in a group and your group has taken a 90-degree or 180-degree turn, don't be surprised. Be aware that this is planned and this is how they're doing it. Rather than martyr the whole group, they're just taking it over and they're going to corrupt the message and the information flow. That's what they're doing.
Well, and one of the ways they do that is they restrict discussions on certain topics. That's a dead giveaway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, this is happening. So those of you out there who do participate in social media groups to try to get help and information and in many cases commiseration, and that's understandable. And these groups, if the groups begin to change radically, look back a little bit and see what happens. See if they've had a change in moderator or anything like that. And you may well find your answer as to what's happened. Okay. Now, the last thing, I was going to play another clip, and maybe we'll do it on Wednesday, of La Quinta Columna, which I don't want to speak for Erica, but I'll speak for myself. I have for quite some time been a little dubious in my assessment of La Quinta Columna. I view it, frankly, as another Intel platform. It's perfectly positioned. It has a very credible sense to it. People love the information. But it's gone back now to the graphene oxide, 5G, 4G. They're doing that again. No mention of amyloids, no mention of amyloidosis, no mention of spike, and yet we have Karen Kingston saying there are no spike proteins. You've got to pay attention. They are really churning the pot of disinformation like I've never seen before. So maybe we'll play La Cuckoo Columna on Wednesday. Because you got to hear this. They're laying it out like graphene oxide has been the poison in the apple in the Garden of Eden. It's amazing. We'll play that Wednesday.
Okay, that sounds good.
No, it sounds terrible. But it's informative.
We'll mush through it.
When you hear this on Wednesday, honest to God, and understand that I'm saying that coming from a position that we do not buy for a nanosec that graphene oxide is guilty of any of this. We have found a number of very informative and deep studies about these vials and what's in them. And no one can find graphene oxide. So where the hell is it coming from? These are very credible groups of scientists and researchers.
It also demonstrates to me just the lack of understanding and imagination these people have when it comes to biowarfare. In terms of the creative ways you can take down a population, graphene oxide would not be it. And many people fail to understand or appreciate the potential toxicity of a protein, how destructive a protein can be. To physiology, greater or lesser degrees. You can tailor it to be fast acting or slow acting, and they have achieved that with this spike protein. And if it didn't exist, why is Arne Burkhardt, for one, able to find it through immunohistochemistry in these bodies of the deceased?
Dozens and dozens and dozens of bodies of the deceased. He's finding it in the brain and all major organs of the body in many cases. Okay? So, but these people are saying there is no spike protein. That's just some kind of...
No, they do not have the foundation or a framework for understanding really any of this. I mean, it's futile to try to talk to somebody that doesn't have a background in this. They don't want to hear it. They can't.
Or if they have an agenda that they're being paid to follow... there's another one. So why talk to them? Why?
Right.
The bottom line is we are all now seeing a serious uptick in the efforts to confuse and completely control free thought. That's what they're doing. They have now relabeled the spike protein. What is it? It's a biological AI
self-assembling
parasite.
AI.
Self-assembling AI parasite. A parasite, a biological self-assembling AI parasite. And then we have the AI hydrogel. They're, hydrogel's back. There's another one.
Magnetic hydrogel.
All right. We will play the little clip for you on Wednesday and to do a lot of other fun things to try to keep you at least up to date and able to better protect yourselves. So... bless all of you, and thank you for being here as always. We really appreciate you.
Yep, thank you. Okay, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
Right. Talk to you soon. Okay, we'll be right back with more with Mitch Henderson coming up next.